You.
We're going to continue to our next action item, number 25, our waterfowl action plan. Ryan Windinger, our Habitat Program Administrator, will be joining us to share information this morning.
You back. Good morning, Madam Chair, members of the Commission, Secretary Roebling, Ryan Windinger here, Habitat Program Administrator. Try to get my screen shared here if I'm allowed to, I guess. Maybe Liz. All right, can you guys see that all right?
Yes.
All right, very good. Yeah, so for the action item here today, I want to talk about the waterfowl access plan. Jump into it here. Yeah, so the waterfowl access plan we've recently developed here, and we have three main objectives that I'll share here, and then I also want to go through some of our strategies and kind of where we're at right now with the objectives here in the plan. So the first objective here is by December of 2025 to increase and improve waterfowl hunting access opportunities on private lands by an additional 25,000 acres. So these are walk-in area contracts, things like that, that we're releasing private land for access. The second objective here is by December of 2025, increase and improve waterfowl hunting access opportunities on our public lands and waters by 20 different sites. So some of those primitive boat ramps, decoy drop points, things like that, that I'll get into here later. And then the last objective is by the start of the 2023 hunting seasons, we wanted to get all the existing sites that we have out there for waterfowl access mapped and on online for people to know where they're located in an interactive online map format. So the first objective here, like I said, to add additional 25,000 acres of private land. So some of our strategies here are to continue to enroll land in the James River CREP program. Again, the cap there is 100,000 acres. We're sitting right around 80,000 acres right now. And the Big Sioux River CREP, we want to continue to make enrollments there as well, with that being somewhat newer, kind of in the initial phases of that, but there's lots of interest, and the cap on that one is 25,000 acres. Re-enroll some of those expiring James River CREP contracts as those come out. We want to work with those landowners and try to get those lands re-enrolled for another 10 or 15 year contracts. Lease up some additional waterfowl hunting areas through walk-in area co-op and some of our other access programs as well as a strategy. Evaluate some of our existing walk-in areas that we already have and maybe try to accommodate some waterfowl hunters on those areas that we have under contract already. And then seek lease agreements for access across some private lands, maybe to some public water bodies, things like vehicle access and gear drop points. Maybe it's not a walk-in area, maybe it's just a specific access to one of those public water bodies that would get people out on them to do some waterfowl hunting. So here's kind of a layout of where we're at right now with this objective. We have over 1,000 contracts in eastern South Dakota, 411,000 acres of public hunting access to private lands, 90,000 acres or more in the co-op program. A lot of those acres are up in the northeastern part of the state, but we do have a fair amount in the southern part of the state as well along the Missouri River. Over 80,000 acres, like I mentioned, in the James River CREP, over 2,000 acres enrolled in the Big Sioux River Watershed CREP. Not all those acres are currently active, but as of October 1st and shortly thereafter, many of those contracts will be, so we'll have about 2,000 acres here for the fall in that CREP watershed. 3,700 acres in the Controlled Hunter Access Program, 27,000 acres in the Lower Owyhee Waterfowl Access Program there, and then the remaining 209,000 acres are in the form of walk-in areas and other programs that we offer when we're leasing private land. Second objective here was to add 20 additional sites on public lands and waters. So some of our strategies here are to go through our game production areas that we currently have and some of the meander lakes that we have around the state and identify opportunities to improve, develop, and maintain things like vehicle access trails, gear and decoy drop points, primitive small boat ramps. Typically they're rock, plank, or they have landing mats, different variations of those. create some shoreline openings where people can get out onto some of those cattail sloughs with small boats, things like that, to do some waterfowl hunting. Another strategy would be to coordinate with the Fish and Wildlife Service to seek opportunities on some of their waterfowl production areas. Promote our GFP public hunting land comment recorder. That just gives the opportunity for users out there to make comments on particular areas and make suggestions of where maybe some waterfowl access projects are needed, or maybe they have some suggestions or ideas that, you know, hey, there's a lot of use here by waterfowl hunters. Some type of project here would be helpful to us to advance waterfowl opportunities. Outreach and engagement with local waterfowl interest groups or our NGOs, DU Delta, South Dakota Waterfowl Association, groups like that to collaborate on things. And then support acquisition is kind of our last strategy there to maybe purchase some additional lands where waterfowl habitat hunting opportunity can be emphasized. So where are we at right now under this objective? So we have about 98 game production areas that we have waterfowl access opportunity projects completed on. That covers 35 different counties, and most of those projects were completed in the last 15 years, with a vast majority of them here recently in the last 5 years or so. So with that, we want to continue to develop and annually maintain these areas. Many of these are, like I said, are primitive in nature as far as ramps go, designed for smaller boats for waterfowl hunting. We have some equipment drop-off sites near boat ramps, shorelines, places where people can drive in on a mowed trail in the fall, drop their decoys, their gear, or their small boat off, and then drive back out to a parking lot to get back away from the water. And then not have to carry those items in so far on some of these GPAs. Roads and trail improvement, just to get people to some of these areas, especially when conditions aren't ideal on some of these roads, if they're, you know, trails that are, maybe it's a wet fall, things like that, trying to improve some of those low areas to get folks in on some of those trails on GPAs. Parking areas where maybe there's not a place to park next to a body of water that offers waterfowl opportunity, creating some approaches and things like that to get people off the township roads and have a place to park and unload their gear. And then we've also worked on some hunting opportunities for disabled hunters, including some restricted vehicle trails, hunting blinds that are accessible by the handicap accessible. So. And then last objective here was by the start of 2023 hunting seasons, map all the existing projects that we have out there and then provide that to users online. And so where we're at with that currently is we have gone through, staff have gone through, used our current water access and trails layer, and they updated and any missing projects that maybe weren't in there already, retooled that and made sure that everything that we've done so far is in there. We'll continue to add sites to that as we go. As projects get completed, we'll get those online. Incorporate these mapped areas into an interactive online public map. So right now it's currently active. It's an active layer on the public hunting atlas that I'll share some slides on here. And then we're working on a few other places, a public water access guide, which Heather Berg, I think, will share some stuff on. She's been working on. Create some standalone web maps or static print and digital maps, whatever it might be that hunters might find useful. So we're continuing to work on those things. So here's where we're at. Like I said, we went through and updated where all these projects are that are completed and got them on the public hunting atlas. So there's a ramp layer that, and then there's also a access and amenities layer. So the ramp layer really focuses on those primitive ramps, whereas the access amenities layer is more focused on things like hunting blinds, decoy drop points, things of that nature. And we're working, like I said, on other ways to view these types of maps and create some links within our website that will help direct folks to this layer or other layers that are available. Few arrows there on the right, if people are coming into the public hunting atlas, they can click on that three tab layer there on the top. And then they'll have to check on the waterfowl access and amenities layer and the primitive boat ramp layer if they so choose. But we also have the opportunity during the waterfowl seasons when people go to view this online atlas that they will be defaulted on. So when they go in there, they're automatically going to show up on there. That'd be something we probably want to do just during the waterfowl season. As you can see, kind of clutters up the map a little bit. So here's just some examples. Once you zoom in on that map, here's an access trail and a ramp. So you can see the trail there is labeled coming off of a gravel road. Has a point there at the end next to the water where the ramp is located. So someone coming there has a pretty good idea exactly where this project is taking place and how they can get to that body of water. Once you click on that point, it'll label what that ramp maybe be called, and then kind of describe it a little bit, whether it's a primitive rock ramp or what it might be. State things like there's no dock present. Let people know that the water levels will fluctuate in some of these really shallow wetlands, and that in some years things can be pretty dry, maybe not functional as we would like it to be, but just kind of make people aware of that. And then if you scroll down on that same tab, there is a photo there on some areas. We don't have all of them, but on some areas we do have some photos of what that ramp looks like, so our users would have some idea what to expect when they arrive or plan their hunt to go to that particular area. Here's just a quick example of an access trail at a decoy drop point. Trail coming in from the north there just kind of identifies exactly where to go. This particular area there, and most of them have signage that say, hey, waterfowl access trail. And at the end of the trail, they'll have a sign that says this is a decoy drop point, drop your gear here, informing users of what that project or trail is intended to be used for. Lastly, this also part of our strategy here is to really reach out to folks. Communications and outreach is important on these things, to share via social media, targeted emails, things like that. Letting people know about these waterfowl access opportunities, share these online links to maps and the project locations. New projects that are completed, share those as well so that people are aware that they're out there. Also consider the R3 component. For those people maybe trying to get back into waterfowl hunting but don't know where to go, or they've moved here from another state and maybe don't know some targeted areas to go, this might be an opportunity to kind of share some of those things. And then continue to collaborate with our NGOs and work on projects together, whether it's youth hunts, collaborating on projects, whatever it might be, work with those folks to continue to excel on these opportunities for our waterfowl hunters out there. I guess with that, I'll offer up opportunity if you have any questions, and then ask for your adoption of this plan.
Very good. Thank you, Ryan. Any questions? Commissioner Bartley.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Commissioner Bartley. Thank you, Ryan. Question on objective two with your strategy on acquisition of additional acres. How do you proceed with that? I mean, what's your how do you or any other department members begin to start those conversations with landowners on acquisitions?
Through the chair.
Yes.
Yeah, Commissioner Bartling. So typically we have a pretty wide range of different individuals that maybe come to us over the year that have land that they would like to sell to the department. And in some of those cases, they are really good waterfowl hunting opportunities. They maybe round out the edge of a wetland that has spilled over onto private land or is just, has always been there and they have no use for it anymore, things like that. And so typically it's a willing seller that's coming to us that says, hey, I got this opportunity here that we'd like to sell this to the department. And that's where those conversations start. And obviously if there's some waterfowl hunting access that's there, that's going to weigh in on that opportunity to maybe, hey, this is a good opportunity to reach this objective here. And that's kind of where we go from there, I guess. So if that answers your question.
Very good. Any additional questions? Commissioner Whitmire.
Yeah, Commissioner Whitmire. Yeah, thank you, Ryan. On the CREP, for example, I believe in the past, and I think it's probably still the case, where with those programs, I don't think, are we able to establish a trail across those for vehicle travel, or is that kind of I believe that's prohibited in the contracts that you can't really establish a road going across that. Is that also still the case today?
Through the chair?
Yes, please.
Yeah, so Commissioner Whitmire, yeah, that would be the case on something like where the CREP contract would be under CRP. But we do have some of those areas where it's maybe rounded out by a walk-in area that isn't under CRP within that CREP contract. And so in those cases, we could potentially work with that landowner to create some trails to get some access in there. So that makes sense.
Yeah, thank you, Ryan. I just wanted to, point out that we're not able to necessarily do that, even though there might be places out in the landscape that are really conducive to, if there's a trail here, it'd be a lot more helpful, but we just simply can't, and I just wanted to have some clarity on that, so appreciate that. Thank you.
You bet.
Thank you. Any additional questions? Ryan, just one, the maps that you showed, do we have any way to know what the usage is, how many visitors are going to our websites and taking a look at those maps?
Yeah, I guess I would refer to Nick Carrington on that, but from my understanding, we do have the ability to kind of track that and see what kind of, how many clicks and things like that that are being done on these different various maps, to my understanding, but would defer to Nick on that.
Right here for you. Nick Carrington, Communications Manager. Yes, map tracking is actually done through our GIS team, but everything on our website, maps, that's all trackable through Google Analytics on our website. We can track through our email platform, social media, and our GIS team can track all that and see exactly when folks are using those maps and what they're using them for.
So, Nick, do you know, do we have a high user number?
Very high, very high. When the public fishing access map, the public hunting access map, all those maps we have are, we see thousands to tens of thousands of users every single year, and they are a very popular tool that our folks enjoy.
Excellent. Well, they're very well done, so it's good to know folks are using them.
We have an awesome GIS team.
Any additional questions or comments? Commissioner Spring.
I was wondering, on all the leases with the private landowners with the waterfowl deal, what do they pay on these leases per acre, or how is that established?
Through the chair?
Yes.
Yeah, so typically on some of these, I know in relevance to water access in general, we typically would pay, if it's just a trail going into water, we would pay just on that trail. I think that would be negotiated. I don't want to speak out of place here with some of our water folks, but I think it would be negotiated probably between, $500 annually to maybe more than that. Just kind of depends on what kind of opportunity it's providing and something that we would negotiate with that landowner at the time. So,
thank you.
Very good. Any other questions or comments? We will need a motion and a second.
So moved.
Moved by Commissioner Bartling.
Second.
Seconded by Commissioner Locken. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Those opposed? It is approved. Good job. A lot of work went into this. Thank you, Ryan, to you and your team.
Thank you.
We're going to move. We've got some resolutions from yesterday that I would like to